Success isn't about the end result. It's about what you learn along the way. This is a quote from renowned designer Vera Wang, who has built her empire on an empowered vision of what it means to be an alluring, elegant, graceful, and multidimensional woman, but particularly on one's wedding day. While she's known for breaking barriers in the design world and making wedding dresses an exciting part of a new bride's becoming, she also has an extensive background in fashion prior to that. She actually served as an editor for Vogue for 17 years. In fact, when she came on board after college, she was the youngest editor ever at the magazine. This multidimensional entrepreneur's journey from young girl in New York to household name status and the reinvention of herself in her 70s as a social media goddess with nearly 1 million followers on Instagram is one of love, passion, and above all, a deep belief in herself. She's also a master of pivoting when the writing was on the wall, even without a safety net, cementing her reputation for tenacity and resilience. Hello, and welcome to Ladies and Legends, the podcast where we explore the personal journeys of legendary women and business leaders of Asian and Asian American descent. I'm your host, Juyun, and today's story is about a household name to fashionistas everywhere, designer and fashion icon Vera Wang. Whether you're a fan of Kim K, Victoria Beckham, Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey, Viola Davis, and even Michelle Obama, they all have one thing in common, Vera Wang's designs. She's even traversed the world athletic stage, outfitting renowned figure skaters at the Winter Olympic Games like Nancy Kerrigan in 1992 and 1994, Michelle Kwan in 1998 and 2002, and Nathan Chen in 2018 and 2022, among others. And now in her mid-70s, she's still killing it on social media and in life and business with multiple fashion lines, from the luxury eponymous Vera Wang to the more budget-friendly Simply Vera, Vera Wang to Black by Vera Wang, which is a line that carries jewelry as well as menswear. And obviously, she's also licensed her name to other ventures, and so you can find her name associated with household goods too. Fashion icon, reluctant bride, relentless entrepreneur, and above all, a woman who turned her plan B into a global empire. Let's get into it. Vera Ellen Wang was born on June 27, 1949 in New York City to Chinese immigrant parents. But this isn't the typical immigrant rags-to-riches story we hear so much about. And on the contrary, Vera had a very privileged childhood. Her father, who was an MIT grad, owned a successful pharmaceutical company, while her mother, who had a day job as a translator for the UN, was a mom straight out of Gossip Girl, and she regularly shopped the couture shows in Paris. And in keeping with that stereotypical Gossip Girl life, and like Mises' cotillion debut in last month's Ladies and Legends interview, Vera, too, was presented as a debutante to high society at the International Debutante Ball at the Waldorf Astoria at the age of 19. Through it all, though, despite growing up on the Upper East Side and attending the elite Chapin School and later Sarah Lawrence College, where she studied art history, Vera has always been more of a self-described hippie when it comes to her fashion sense. She said of her mother, on the other hand, in an interview with Harper's Bazaar, "My mother was extremely controlled and she was sort of flawless. She was a tiger mother, but she really tried to encourage me to be who I was." When she was 8 years old, Vera began rising at dawn to take up figure skating under the tutelage of Peter Dunfield and Sonia Klopfer, who themselves are both renowned competitive figure skaters. Her parents had hopes that their daughter would become a world-famous athlete, and they held on to those dreams through her Sarah Lawrence days. And though she competed in the 1968 U.S. Figure Skating Championships, she failed to make the Olympics team, which led to heartbreak for both her and her parents. She says, "I was trying to manage school and training for the Olympics, and I ended up not doing well at either. And so that was a big lesson in my life. My mother expected both." So here's when the first pivot comes in Vera's story. After failing to make the U.S. Olympic figure skating team, she didn't freak out. She didn't collapse. She recalibrated. And that setback, which is one that could have defined her, became a launchpad for something entirely different. It should be noted here that Vera has one brother, Kenneth or Ken Wang, who graduated with a degree in economics from MIT. And he's the founder and owner of the Pete Dye-designed Pound Ridge Golf Club in New York. So one might say, while Vera leaned into the democratization of high-end bridal couture, Her brother has similarly leaned into the democratization of a traditionally upper-class sport, golf, through this endeavor. But otherwise, there's very little that can be found about him or her parents publicly. Back to Vera. So coming off the disappointment of not getting into the Olympics, she had kind of a hint of another possibility in fashion that was open to her through her college friendship with the 60s model and icon Penelope Tree. They would drive back to campus together from the city in Vera's Porsche after different breaks. And so after Christmas vacation one time, Penelope regaled her friend with stories about being in London with renowned photographer David Bailey. And that was in stark contrast to Vera's own break, which had been spent practicing ice skating in New Jersey. As Vera remembers, she wasn't going to Harvard Yale football games and shit like that, Vera told Harper's Bazaar. And so when she graduated, Vera made up her mind to obsessively rise up the ranks of the cutthroat fashion world. And at just 23 years old and straight out of college, she was hired as the youngest Vogue editor ever. Her friend and former boss, also legendary Vogue fashion editor, Polly Allen Mellon, has said about her first day, "I will never forget. It was so incredible." She was dressed in a white crepe de chine Yves Saint Laurent dress with long red fingernails and very beautiful, very high-heeled pumps. And I said to her, "Vera, we are going to be working in the fashion closet, and believe me, we'll be on our hands and knees, so I think you should go home and change." From the start, though, she was determined to succeed, and her former boss has said of her that Vera was inspiring, caring, never complaining, and basically a pleasure to be around. How focused was she? Vera recalls a time that her father flew to Paris just to see her. But because she was in the middle of a photo shoot that ran long at the Place de la Concorde, she turned down dinner with him. And she's also said that he didn't understand her obsession, but that's okay. He didn't have to understand it. And that obsessive quality served her well for 17 years at Vogue. Ultimately, though, she was passed over for the editor-in-chief position in favor of also iconic Anna Wintour, who is the same age as Vera, and she took that as a sign to pivot. She didn't complain. She took that one on the chin, but she left to join Ralph Lauren. And perhaps it's a good lesson for us all as we move upwards. It wouldn't kill us to focus without being deterred as long as we're working towards a dream that still serves us. But once the road becomes impossible, it may be a sign to pivot. Obviously, every path has its hiccups that ultimately recede when we look in the rearview mirror of our life's journey. But the question is always, how can we approach it all with grace and discipline like Vera, but also know when it's time to change up things? So fun fact, she was originally set to work for Jeffrey Bean, but the day before she was going to start, Ralph Lauren called, offering her a salary that was 4 times what she would earn at Jeffrey Bean, which was too good to pass up. So I went to Ralph Lauren through my connections at Vogue and became a design director for all of the women's clothing there. And when I saw what it takes to build that kind of empire, if I had been sane, I probably would have stopped there. But as fate would have it, after just 2 years at Ralph Lauren, came pivot number 3, and she left to start her own design house. Vera had once said, "I never thought I would be a designer." But sometimes entrepreneurship starts where frustration lives. And at age 40, Vera was planning her own wedding to investor and real estate developer Arthur P. Becker. And she found herself completely underwhelmed with the bridal fashion choices available. So what did she do? She did what all great entrepreneurs do. She built what she couldn't find. So at this point, let's take a quick step back to catch up on her personal life and who this Arthur P. Becker guy is. Vera met Arthur in 1977, so more than 10 years prior, at a tennis match in Forest Hills, Queens. He was working for her father as a stockbroker. And on their first date, he actually arrived at the restaurant to find that her entire family was there, sort of showing early on that Vera was very close to her family and that family dynamics and that close relationship would continue throughout their marriage. So when they were getting ready to wed in 1989 and she couldn't find the right dress that suited her, she decided to design her own for the hefty sum of $10,000 in those days, which is probably something closer to $20,000 in today's money. And coming on the heels of her wedding in 1990, Vera opened a small bridal boutique in the Carlisle Hotel on Madison Avenue. Her first collection was funded in part by her father. And so I want to take a side note here to mention that although her father became one of her biggest supporters when she started her own line, it was decades in the making. So he actually wasn't that supportive of her having a career in fashion prior to that. But it was over time, seeing her dedication, her commitment to what she did, that he changed his opinion. And so he really believed in her and her vision that she was addressing a growing predicament for new brides, even though the industry hadn't caught on yet, which is that women were marrying later. And there was no one who was addressing that kind of pocket of the population. Vera took a huge risk in designing gowns that were modern, clean, and fashion forward, defying the Princess Puff norms of the time. She said, "There have been a million days where I said to myself, what was I thinking or why did I do this? But there have been way more days where I felt extremely lucky to be doing something that I love so much and learning new lessons, not only as a designer, but also as an entrepreneur." As a side note, while it's not uncommon to get married in one's 30s and 40s today, back in 1990, the median age woman got married was 23.9, so 24 years old. And you can imagine how much one's taste evolves in the decade interim, and how clever Vera and her father were to recognize this growing opportunity with a better educated, more affluent subset of the female population. So here's the truth, right? Starting a business at 40 in a hyper-competitive and youth-obsessed industry like fashion, as an Asian American woman, was no cakewalk. And in the beginning, it was her dad who was her biggest supporter, while she struggled internally with questions like, am I too old to start this? Should I have left my job at Ralph Lauren? Is this the right thing to do? And in the beginning, Vera faced skepticism. She wasn't trained as a traditional designer. She wasn't a household name, and her dresses were different. They were understated, they were architectural, and they were sleek, and critics didn't get it at first. But she stayed the course. She stuck to her instincts. And slowly, brides paid attention. They could be, on their wedding day, who they wanted to be in life in Vera's creations. Elegant, classy, self-assured, and quietly confident. Celebrities, too. And her breakthrough came when Sharon Stone, Mariah Carey, and later Victoria Beckham and Chelsea Clinton all walked down the aisle in Vera's designs. And let's be clear, this wasn't a fluke. Vera's edge was in her dual identity, East meets West, art history meets business, function meets flair. She brought subtlety in an industry obsessed with spectacle, and in doing so, she made space for modern women, especially Asian American women, to see themselves differently. Back to 1989. When Vera was ramping up to get married, Vera Wang's friends, Ralph Lauren and Anna Wintour, had always encouraged her to marry, though Vera herself had thought she would be a fashion nun for the rest of her life, and that kind of spurred her to step things up with Arthur. And they had dated on and off for over a decade, but at this point, you know, her friend had said, "You have got to get a family going on here. You've been single for 3 decades now." And so Vera said, "So I married my husband, and there are days I'm not happy I did it, but there are days I'm thrilled." But let's be honest, had it not been for the trials and pressures of saying yes to a dress, Vera's fashion empire may never have come to fruition. So perhaps her famous friends, Ralph Lauren and Anna Wintour, were onto something there. And Vera's husband, Arthur, officially joined her company in 2010, 21 years after they married, though he had unofficially advised Wang on growing her label from bridal collections to couture since its inception. But sadly, just 2 years later in 2012, they divorced. There were rumors of an affair on her part, but these were never substantiated. And Vera herself has described their relationship as one of opposites, as can be inferred from her comment that they were like the original When Harry Met Sally couple. So I guess sometimes opposites attract, but maybe don't stay together. However, they continue to maintain a harmonious professional relationship and a warm personal relationship. And during their marriage, they had actually adopted 2 daughters, Cecilia and Josephine, 2 Eurasian daughters, after they had had a prolonged journey with fertility treatments, as Vera had tried to conceive on her own. For her parenting style, she's tried not to emulate her mother too much, preferring instead to give her daughters a little more freedom. She said, "I don't live through my kids, but I do know what will happen in life, and I just want them well prepared." And today you can find her rocking an ageless beauty on Instagram and being devoted to her business, reviewing looks, designs, and business plans on the daily. She said of not slowing down, "I'm kind of proud of aging. Ageism has always existed. As you get older, you have to find your own relevancy for how you're going to spend the rest of your life. It's a number, but I see people doing their very best work as they get older. Experience, knowledge, and wisdom all stands for a lot. Today, Vera Wang is more than a bridal designer. She's a lifestyle brand. And fragrances, home goods, red carpet gowns, and even figure skating costumes bear her name. Yep, she's returned to that world too, full circle. And here's the entrepreneurial lesson. Vera didn't stop at her first success. She scaled her vision. She diversified. And in by making luxury accessible without watering it down, she's been able to capture a much wider audience. And from her figure skating exit to her Vogue exit to her Ralph Lauren exit, she's never been afraid of leaving a party when it was time to do so. And just as importantly, despite the normal moments of uncertainty on the precipice of a big change, she's always been able to get behind herself, to rally and put faith in her talent, dedication, and hard work, and what that could achieve. In her 70s, she's designing, posting outfits on Instagram, and serving unbothered looks that go viral. She's proof that creativity doesn't expire and reinvention is ageless. And as a sole owner of her business, Forbes has reported that Vera Wang's net worth is around $500 million. Not bad. So what do we take away from Vera Wang's journey? Maybe just this, that setbacks can be springboards, that reinvention isn't weakness, it's power, and that our truest selves often emerge when we stop asking for permission. So that wraps up today's episode of Ladies and Legends. Whether you admire her persistence, dedication, and drive, or you're inspired by her unwavering faith in herself, Vera Wang is a study in building and becoming. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow the show, leave a review, and share this episode if you enjoyed it. I'm Juyun, and I'll catch you next time on Ladies and Legends.